Welcome to Lesbians Who Write with Claire Lydon and T.B. Markinson. Conversations about writing and lesbian fiction. Join us as we draw back the curtain on the writer's life. Hello and welcome to another episode of Lesbians Who Write. And this week we are discussing how did you discover lesbian romance? And joining me, your host, Claire Lydon, is my co-host, the quirky and the quintessentially queer, T.B. Markinson. Hello, T.B. How are you today?
Feeling very queerly.
And quirky?
I wasn't expecting quintessentially queer. That was clever of you. Kudos.
Thank you. And that was quite alliterative, clever and kudos. So talking about the quintessentially queer. So I'm going to stop now because it's a tongue twister, isn't it?
It is. I do have a question for you, though, that I've been pondering.
Go on.
How long do you spend actually thinking of these intros?
I have a secret. I just go to a website called Adjectives Beginning With, and then I look at those. So probably like 5 minutes.
It's almost like you've ruined the magic, but I think a lot of writers would appreciate that because I'm going to have to start using that website.
It's quite a good website, actually, yeah. Sorry if I've just ruined the romance of our intros. But, I hope you still enjoy them.
Well, we did promise to show how the sausage is made with writing, and I guess this is part of it.
Okay. Good analogy there for a lesbian writing website. Let's talk sausages. Right, so let's talk about our week. How's your week been? Well, actually, we should say we're only recording this on Sunday because I'm going away on holiday this week, so it's only been a few days since we last spoke, but what have you done in those last few days, TB?
Funny enough, since it's only been like, 3 days, I've had a very busy time.
Okay.
Because I uploaded Reservations of the Heart to Amazon.
Ooh, exciting.
And it is now live on the site. I haven't started the official launch yet, but yeah. I'm happy to report with zero fanfare. Like, I have only announced to my ARC team that, hey, the links are live, you can start posting your reviews. It's already climbing up the charts. It's doing decent. I'm amazed by this. With no emails, no social media blasts, nothing. It's number 5 in lesbian romance already, and it's only been like a day and a half.
Wow. Awesome.
I know. That is
very, very exciting.
I know, and I have to give a special shout out to my ARC team. I love you guys. I mean, I don't know if people who are on our teams understand what a pivotal role they play in our publishing career and publishing process.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are fantastic. I appreciate everything you do. And I know I can't gush over so many emails because I received quite a few. But if you are listening, please know I love you guys. I appreciate everything you do. And thank you.
Good. It's like you've just won an Academy Award and you've just given a speech.
I know.
I love it.
I know.
Thank you to all my fans.
I like to make sure people feel appreciated. And it's one of those things where I'm working on trying to make sure my team knows just how much I really appreciate everything they do. But since I've launched ROH, well, that's what I call it in my notes, ROH,
mm-hmm.
I still have not added any new words to my Lizzie book because I've just been so busy. Why is launching a book so fucking busy?
It is. It just is. I always think that. I always think, hey, I'm going to, yeah, you know, once it's off to the art team, I'll get loads of words done. But there's always just so many little bits and bobs to do. I think you just have to accept it and accept that in the run up to the launch and probably the week after, you're just going to be dead busy.
I know. I have on my schedule that I need to write like 20K this week, and I'm like, that's not happening, so I'm going to be behind schedule. And it's not like the first time I've launched a book. I should know this by now, but every time it takes me by surprise where I'm like, oh my God, where did today go? Because I still haven't written any words and I'm still behind on the actual launch.
Yes, but you should. You should write this into your schedule. Don't expect to do too many words because launching a book does take time and energy. Emotionally draining as well, because it's like, you know, you are again putting a little piece of yourself out there and waiting for it to be judged.
I know, that's the thing, like when we were talking about when I sent it to my ARC team and you're like, oh no, don't worry about it, it'll be fine. And I'm like, fucking Claire, She's so zen-like, and now you're in the same boat when you're sending it out, and you're like, oh my god, what's going to happen?
Well, you know, we all know I was lying. I admitted I was lying. So, you know, I was lying to myself. I was lying to the world, TB. I'm coming out as a big fat liar. you know, I've had a similar, you know, this week I sent it to my very first reader, the lovely author H.P. Monroe, who always gives me a first read. Gives me great feedback. She's a very good first reader. Anyway, I sent Made in London to her on Friday night when I finished it, ready to go to the proofreader. And she said she read it over the weekend and has already given me feedback, and she loved it. So that's really good. That's kind of a weight off my mind, because if one person likes it, then the lighter it is, other people will too.
That's the thing. As soon as you get like the first positive feedback, you're like, oh, it's such a relief. Mm. Like, when I get that first email, I'm like, oh, thank God. I didn't, like, stop eating all this cookie dough. I think your weekend's been a bit different than mine.
My weekend has been different to yours, because it was my birthday. Hooray! Happy birthday to me. So I wasn't sure how I was feeling about this birthday. I was feeling, it's not a big one or anything, but I was just feeling a little bit, what's the word, glum, probably, in the lead up to it. But I think that's because I've been really, really fucking busy. So I have been working like a dog to get everything done before we go away, because that's why we're recording early, because my wife and I are going to Milan this week for a 5-day break. And that's been planned for ages. So getting this book ready to go to the proofreader was the primary objective, and that is now done. I sent it this morning, so that's really good. And I uploaded my audiobook, and I had like a bunch of, I had 6 quite big things to do this week, and I've still got 2 of them to tick off my list before I fly on Wednesday, but I think I'm going to get it done, so that's really good. So yeah, and also it meant having got my book done, because I kind of didn't plan anything for my birthday because I thought I might have to work, because I knew I had to get it all done before I go. But because I got it all done, sort of nearly ready to go to the proofreader by Friday night at 8 o'clock, so I was working right up to the wire on Friday. Then on Saturday, which was my birthday, it was a beautiful day here in London. It was like 25 degrees, which is 80 degrees in your money. And I sat in the garden all day long. We had breakfast in the garden. We had lunch in the garden. And I sat in the garden with my book, and I read it all day in sunshine. It was beautiful. Do you know what? You don't do that, do you? Or at least I don't. You don't just sit and don't have. I just put everything out of my mind, and I didn't feel guilty about not working because I'd worked really hard all week. And it was like being on holiday. You know, when you're on holiday and you lie on a beach and you read a book, and it's so relaxing. And you forget to do that in your day-to-day life. So if you haven't done that in a while, just spend a day reading. It was amazing.
Now, when you say you read your book, you don't mean your own book, do you?
Oh, God, no, that's not relaxing. Because you're always thinking, oh, no, that's a terrible sentence. No, I read a book, and it wasn't a lesbian fiction book, actually. It was a book called Cows, and the author was Dawn O. Porter. And it's a brilliant book. It's about 3 women, quite a feminist novel, very funny, very smart, and it just kept me captivated all day. So, like, it took me longer than a day to read it. It's quite a long book, but I think I've been reading it on and off for about a week, and then I really cracked through it, and I finished it this morning. So I didn't quite finish it yesterday, but I spent like, you know, a good 4 or 5 hours in the garden reading, which is great. And then we went out for dinner and cocktails, and it was just lovely. I feel very zen and relaxed after that. So have we had any comments in the last few days?
We actually have. I was thinking we would have to like fill the dead air on this one, but then we have had some comments. We had Kim, who emailed my author email, and she had a question. She says she's been listening to our podcast and learning a lot, and she had a question about whether or not she should copyright her first draft before sending to friends and editors. I responded, well, she asked if I did that, and I responded, no, I didn't. I know this is a huge concern for a lot of people, especially when it's your first book, it's your first baby, and you want to make sure you protect yourself and all that, but as soon as you write something, as soon as you create something, it's pretty much copyrighted. And if you're sending to friends or editors that you can't trust, I would recommend not doing that.
Yeah, it's the likelihood of that happening is really, really, really minimal. Yeah, and I agree with TB. If you don't trust the people that you're sending it to, then don't send it to them.
Yeah, especially since it's your first book. You should trust the people who are going to give you input as well, not just from theft, but like you want to make sure that you put it in the right hands, because it's such a delicate process. You're very vulnerable at this stage of the writing career, and so you need to make sure you be all around. You just need trust.
Yes.
And then we had another comment from Jana on Twitter. She had a long flight, and she ended up downloading my Woman Lost series, and she was reading it, and I had forgotten this part, but I guess there's a part where Lizzie is drowning her sorrows, and she's eating mint chocolate chip ice cream, and she said she laughed out loud because she had been listening to our podcast, and she knew that that's probably something I would do when I would drown out my own sorrows.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we said, bits of our real lives do seep into our books.
They do. And then we had Rachel, who sent an email to us, and this was a comment from our How Ambitious As Are You podcast we did a couple weeks ago. And she says that normally she's not very ambitious, but she's had a particularly rough year, so I'd like to wish her a better part of the year. But what she's been doing to relieve stress is she's been quilting. And so far she's made quite a few. And she attached a photo of a quilt. I should forward it along to you, Claire. It's a quite an impressive quilt. So she is dealing with her stress by being not semi-productive. She's being very productive, actually. And she's doing it in a way that is also helping relax her and relieve her stress. So kudos to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the end of comments on my end. Do you have anything on yours?
I do. Yes, I do. Even after 3 days, comments flooding in. Melissa wrote to me saying that she loves the podcast. Kathy also wrote and said she never misses a week. And she also put a shout out. She'd love to see us write together. I know we have talked about this before. I know we just did the Village Romance series, but I think she means collaborating on the same book. She says that we could write about a woman from the Cotswolds who's just been offered her dream job in New York City. But when she arrives, she finds the job has gone to someone else. What should she do? And she's going to leave us to work that one out, TB. So what do you think?
That's funny because I've been itching to write a book about New York City. Or a book set in New York City. So that's weird.
There you go. Kathy's giving you that one for free. Carmen also said she listens every week, and the ease of our banter and conversation always makes her chuckle. And she also appreciated the podcast episode we did and all the podcasts we recommended. I'm assuming that she's had a listen to a few of those.
I hope so. I still have not listened to Throwing Shade. I need to work that into my schedule because I think that would help me laugh each time I listen to it. And, you know, we all need to laugh more.
We do. Actually, Throwing Shade, they've been over in the UK, so they do live editions of their podcast. And the first time they came, we went to see it, and it was really, really good. We missed the second time. And then the third time was on my birthday, so we knew we weren't going to go to that because I have to go out for dinner on my birthday. It's the law. So I hope they come over again because it would be cool to go and see them live.
I'm curious about when you record live podcasts. Are we gonna reach that stage? Are we gonna like book a massive stadium and just do our thing?
I absolutely think we're gonna reach that stage. I don't even know why you're doubting it. You know, Throwing Shade, they book a place and it can hold about 500 people. I can book that place, TB. I can make it happen. What do you think, this time next year?
You know, maybe we should start playing it. How many people want to come to the UK and watch me struggle to pronounce words live?
Yeah. Write in and let us know if you want us to record a live episode of this podcast. We'd love to know. Anyway, if that is all the comments, so let's get on to this week's big question, which is, how did you discover lesbian romance? How did you discover lesbian romance, TV? And I feel like we should clarify that we're talking about lesbian romance fiction, not just romance in life. Although, you know, that's another podcast.
I hope so, because I didn't prep for that one. So, how did I discover lesbian romance? This is going to sound really weird. I discovered lesbian romance by writing one. when I started writing A Woman Lost, my first book, oh gosh, it was way back in the day. I think it was 2005, 2006. And I'd started just jotting down ideas for this story. And I started, you know, taking it a little seriously at some time because I had more free time. And then life got in the way. And then I started writing again a few years later. And my partner asked me, you know, what are you working on? And I described the story, and she was like, you know, there's got to be a market for that. I'm pretty sure there's a market for it. And she's more business oriented than I am, and I was like, huh, maybe there is. Like, I guess I just was so involved in my story that I forgot to do the genre research.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking into it, but the only reason I started writing A Woman Lost with two female characters in it is, are you ready for the news? Why I started this?
No, go on, tell me.
Because I'm a lesbian.
Wow.
I know, that's the whole reason I started writing stories with lesbians in it, because I am one, and I feel like I have a little bit of insight into it, not saying that all lesbians are the same, please don't jump on me for that. It's just one of those things where you just write what you know, and I started writing it, and then I did remember after my partner mentioned, you know, I'm sure there's a market for it, and before I started writing my novel, I read Tipping the Velvet by Sarah Waters. I think that was published back in 1998, but I didn't really consider that as... Do you consider that a strict lesbian romance? To me, that's more like literary fiction, historical fiction. I mean, sure, it's lesbian fiction. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not. But do you lump it into lesbian romance?
No, I don't. And I know some people would, but yeah, I think it's more. It's not a genre fiction book. It's more literary fiction, I think.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely love the novel. I've read it a few times now. I think it's one of her better ones. So when I had that in my head, I was like, well, I didn't really do a lot of research on it. And I think you mentioned the same when you started writing your book, like when you reached out, like you weren't sure there was a whole market for lesbian romance, were you?
I didn't really know anything about it, no. I hadn't really done any research, a bit like you. I was just writing because I like to write and I wanted to write a book, so.
Yeah, and then I, of course, started looking into it. I started going through Amazon, going through the charts and everything, and I stumbled on some authors that I really started reading a lot. But it wasn't until after I published A Woman Lost when I really, really started to do the research, which if there are listeners out there who are considering starting a writing career, don't do it that way. Don't. It's like closing the gate after the horse escapes. Don't do it that way. Do some research before. But I think, you know, this was back in the heyday where everyone was more gung-ho about the whole like indie part. And it was, I don't know, when did the first books of writing to market first start coming out? Do you remember?
I don't know. Probably about 2015, 2016 maybe.
That's when I sort of remember it as well. So, yeah, in the beginning, it was just like, at least for me, I was studying more about the whole indie part. And it wasn't until the writing to market started catching on where I really, 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 really started digging into it. Well, we can go into that a little bit, but do you want to give your background of how you found lesbian romance first?
Okay, I will. So I was just thinking about it today, preparing for this. And I think the first lesbian romance I ever read was a punk novel, and I looked it up earlier, and it was called Sister Safety Pin, and it was by Laurie Sprecher. So there you go. That's the first one I ever read. And I remember reading it and just being like amazed, because I'd never read a story with a lesbian in it before. And I think, you know, I hadn't long been out, and I was like, oh my God, this is a thing. You can write a book and a character can be a lesbian. And, you know, it was amazing to me. Even though I was nowhere near being a punk, but, you know, I understood safety pins and I understood sisterhood. So, you know, that was me. I was there, Sister Safety Pin. And so I wrote to the author. No idea what I wrote. I'd love to know now what my, like, 21-year-old self wrote or something. Probably something really embarrassing. Anyway, and then when I later, but a few years later, I went travelling the world for 9 months and I was in New Zealand. Like, that was the first book, lesbian romance book I ever read, and then I didn't read another one until I went travelling a few years later. I was in New Zealand, I was in a hostel, and there was a library in the hostel, so, like, you know, take a book, leave a book, that sort of thing, so a free library, and somebody had left a lesbian romance, and I remember nothing about it apart from that the cover was pink, that's it, and probably bad, because they all were. I remember reading it and being amazed because it had lesbians. They had a relationship. They had sex on the page. Amazing. And the people didn't die. They were happy at the end. It was amazing. I was amazed. It was amazing. And I remember thinking, I can't take this with me. So I put it back in the bookshelf because I thought I'm going to leave it here for the next person to come along and be amazed. Those two instances of reading a lesbian romance aside, I didn't really start reading it until probably maybe 2 or 3 years before I started publishing. So, yeah, fairly similar to you in that respect. And mainly because it wasn't really available. I know I'm going to sound really old, but, you know, I'm in my 40s and back in the day, when I was 20, like, the Kindle only happened 10 years ago, right? So when I was 21, there was no Kindle. Oh, I'm so old. And, you know, if you wanted a lesbian book of any sort, you had to go to a specialist bookshop because they existed then. And I remember going to one in Bristol and one in Nottingham when I lived in sort of those two vicinities. And all the books always used to have, like, they were normally orange or pink covers and they had bad graphics on the front. So not a lot has changed. And they all had Butch Dykes playing basketball, softball, or a sport I didn't understand. Most of the other ones I read, maybe I read sort of 2 or 3 others, they weren't as good. And so I didn't, but I did have like a little library of kind of lesbian fiction. But, you know, yeah, it wasn't available, so I didn't really read much of it because you had to go with a specific intention of going to a bookstore that would stock it because mainstream bookstores didn't stock it. But the lesfic I know today, the first one I bought was Georgia Beers, and then I bought another, and then I bought another. She hooked me in, and she's very reliable, a brilliant storyteller, and very lovely. You met her, so you fangirled her on my behalf at the GCLS. But pretty soon I had the whole set, and it is amazing watching her. If you read from her beginnings, and I'm sure the same is true for me and for you, you can see the evolution of her writing and her storytelling. It's pretty cool to see. Reading it as just a reader and then reading it being a writer of lesbian romance now, it changes the dynamics and what you see in it. So, you know, I can see different things in George's writing through different books she's done and where she was in her storytelling journey and her life. You can kind of see bits coming through. If you haven't read any Georgia Beers, I'd recommend Too Close to Touch. That's her best book, I think. I did ask her when I interviewed her for my other podcast, The Lesbian Book Club, why she thinks that Too Close to Touch and Starting From Scratch are the two that everybody always names of hers. And I asked her why she thought that those two resonated. She had no idea, but she said that they were two that just flowed out and they were, you know, they were an easy write as much as any book is easy to write, but it just flowed out. And I think I'm the same. The two books that everybody loves of mine are London Calling and Nothing to Lose. I wouldn't say London Calling was an easy write because that took me 5 years. But, you know, it's my first. Everyone always loves you first. But Nothing to Lose is just the one that always punches home with everybody. And why? I don't know. But it was easy to write. But that's getting off topic. Just thought I'd mention that. But I love Georgia Beers' stuff. She's done a variety of stuff. She does all her romances, but they're all just very well researched and very well told. So there you go. That's my story of how I discovered lesbian romance.
You know, you mentioned the specialty bookshops, and that it pulled a memory out of my head. We used to have some in Colorado, and I used to go, but I was such a history nerd at the time, and I would go to the history section. I didn't go to the fiction section, so maybe that's where I started failing right away in this career, being pulled to the history part of me. I was recently asked if I'll write a historical fiction, and I was like, I don't think I can because I would never stop researching. I think that would be like the dangerous rabbit hole I would never emerge from.
Mm.
But back on the topic with lesbian romance. So after I started really reading a lot more of it, I mean, obviously I found Harper Bliss because especially at this time she was publishing quite a bit at the time, and and I had published a few novels, and she put a call out. I was on her mailing list, and she put a call out to people like, you know, do you want to join my ARC team? And so I was like, you know, maybe I should do that. That would be a fantastic experience for me. So I emailed her. I emailed Harper Bliss, and I said, you know, my name is TB, and I said TB Markinson, and I've been reading your books, and I would love to be on your ARC team. And she wrote back, I know who you are. And I was like, oh my God, Harper Bliss knows my name. I was so excited about that. And then another lesbian author or lesbian romance author that I truly started reading a lot of, and I still read a lot of because I love her work, is Melissa Braden.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Soho Loft romance series is one of the best series in lesbian. Have you read it?
I read the first one and I really liked it. I haven't read the next couple because I'm not really a series reader. I don't know. I sort of kick back against series, even though I write them. And I want people to buy my books and read the series. I know that most people do love series. You know, I've asked people, and I know that people do, because people do read through my series. However, I don't.
See, I like everything. I like series. I like standalone. So I like something that's a bit off market. But I really like her writing style.
Mm-hmm.
So I read quite a few of hers, and then I recently met Melissa Braden in mm-hmm. Pittsburgh this past July, and it was a fantastic moment. And she also remembered me, because I had emailed her and I did a small interview with her for iHeartLesbic, and it was just one of those moments where, like, oh, she remembers who I am. Do you have those moments ever?
Yeah, I do. And it was, you know, it's always nice when people do remember who you are, because I can be accused of not remembering things quite a lot. But yeah, I mean, I know that if even I've written however many novels I've written now, right? And I know what it takes, and I know, you know, a lot about the publishing industry. But if I met Georgia Beers, I know I would be a babbling mess. And I know that she's just another person. who has all the same fears and hopes and dreams as anyone else, but she'll always be on a pedestal, I think, because because she was the first one that I admired her writing. So yeah, I think that's just, but you know, you always have to remember they're just people at the end of the day, like you and me.
Yeah, well, this next part with my whole discovery of lesbian romance is going to make you uncomfortable, so you might want to close your ears. Okay. But another author I really started reading a lot was someone named Claire Lydon.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, I warned you. You asked a question, and I'm answering honestly. You were at the top of the charts for quite a bit, and I really love the British sense of humor, and I think you nail the British sense of humor. So, and also, I was living in Britain at the time, so I was trying to read more books that were set in Britain, because I could, like, explore London and be like, oh, this is where this kind of took place, even though I know it's fake. I know it's fictional, but it's one of those things where I really enjoyed immersing myself quite a bit in. And your British wit, I have to give it to you. You do a really good job with it.
Are you just being nice to me because it's my birthday weekend? Is that what you're doing?
Wow, I didn't even think of it that way. I guess I should have. Here's your gift. Did
no.
I get my magnet back?
No, I in all seriousness, that's very lovely of you to say. And yeah, I didn't know you were going to say that, so I'm quite shocked. But it's, I don't know what to say. but it's really nice that I was one of the first, you know, one of the people that you read.
Now I'm going to segue into a different author and give you some breathing space,
okay.
And so you can settle down. But one of the other authors I started reading very early on was Miranda McLeod. I really enjoyed her sense of humor. These books are set in, especially her Americans Abroad series. So this Americans, but they're put in the different situations when they're in different countries. And being an American who had been living in the United Kingdom and Ireland, I found it quite humorous, because I found myself in so many difficult pickles. Because you just, when you go someplace, you don't know all the history or customs and everything, and it just kind of happens, and it does present some humorous situations. And so, so I started reading Miranda's books, and then here's a funny story. So when I started iHeartLesbic, I started organizing those sales, and so I started reaching out to you and to Harper, and I emailed Miranda, and Miranda and I started emailing quite a bit, and we figured out that we were both hailed from California, and I was like, well, that's interesting. And in one of the emails, she made a particular comment, and I was like, wow. She knows the exact area where I grew up. I was like, this is interesting. So we started emailing back and forth about it. And finally, I was like, where did you grow up? And I won't say. As it turns out, Miranda McLeod and I had known each other since we were 10 years old. We went to sixth grade together.
Well, there you go. Wow. That is quite amazing. Isn't that amazing, though, that you... So you emailed Harper to get on her team, and now you're... You know, and now you're writing with her, co-written and done a series. You were reading me, and now we're doing this podcast together. And you were reading Miranda McLeod.
And we did the Village Romance.
Yeah, and Miranda McLeod, and you went to school with her. So, who else are you going to discover this, like, weird connection with?
Well, not only did Miranda and I know each other since we were little ones, now we're co-writing a book together. So out of the four people I really started reading... Only Melissa Braden and I haven't co-written a book together. What do you think my odds are?
You need to get on that. You need to email her with this family tree going on and go, look, Melissa, it's going to happen at some point. So let me know when you've got a window in your schedule. Yeah, I do agree with you with Melissa Braden. She's a great writer of lesbian romance, and she really gets under the skin of her characters and everything. And I think that her and Georgia Beers are quite good friends, aren't they? So there you go. And I also remember interviewing Jane Repzig, who's a very good UK lesbian fictional author, not all romance, but lesbian fiction. And she was telling me that she actually published, you know, back in the day way before Kindle eBooks. Back in the day when I was going to these stores to buy the orange books with the terrible covers, and she published some lesbian fiction, and she was telling me that she had to got it all printed by some small press, and she remembers being on the tube with her box of books and taking them to the shops and stuff to sell. So, you know, sometimes when people say it's really hard to sell books today, I would point them back to those times when we didn't have the Kindle or any ebook publishing to help us do it. So there's never been a better time to be a writer, as another podcast does point out all the time. So do you think that the future for lesbian romance is going to be, it's just going to get bigger and bigger?
The simple answer is yes. In my other part of my career with the iHeartLesfic, since I curate all the new titles each week, when I first started this job, like, I would only have, like, 4 or 5 new titles each week for the new release. And I think last week, I had 18 new titles. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. So, and we just cannot keep up with the readers either. I get emails all the time from readers who say they read an insane amount of books each month. And I know authors are always like, oh, you know, they view each other as competitors and not peers, which I think you and I are against. We're like, no, we all should work together because we literally can't keep up with the demand. And it's nice to see not only more authors entering, but also more representation. That's what's so important, because like what you were going through when you were like finding these books with orange covers. And I have to ask, why orange?
I don't know. They were always orange or pink.
Why? Maybe it's just because it's my one of my least favorite colors, where I'm just like, oh, I don't think I would pick up a cover with orange on it. But but like it's fantastic that all these books are proliferating the charts and everything, and a lot of people are being successful with the careers. You and I support ourselves with our writing and everything. But it's also fantastic for, as a reader, to actually have places where now we don't have to go to the specialty bookshop where I get lured away to the historical part. It's everywhere now.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrific. You know, if I was in my 20s now, I'm sure I'd be having such a different experience, you know, because as we've said before, books are there to entertain, but they also represent and they make you sort of see that you can have this life that's depicted in the books. And that's always brilliant when the books give hope and stuff. And they were very difficult to find when I was in my 20s. So, it's brilliant time to be a lesbian fiction writer, but also, more importantly, a great time to be a lesbian fiction reader, which I am. So I'm very pleased about that too. And we will be discussing on a different podcast which lesbian romance or which lesbian fiction authors we look forward to dropping their next book. So we'll be discussing that on a different podcast. So for now, that's been a brilliant podcast this week. Anything else to say, TV, before we wrap up?
Happy birthday.
Thanks. Are you getting in early for next year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, cool. I like to get ahead of the game because if I remember correctly, I thought your birthday was on the different day and you said, no, it's tomorrow. And I was like, God damn it.
Well, it's all right. I spoke to a friend of mine on Friday and she said, are you doing anything this weekend? And I said, oh, yeah, well, it's my birthday. And she went, really? I thought your birthday was in June. And I thought, wow, I've known you for 25 years and you still don't know when my birthday is.
Wait, 25 years?
25 years.
Wow, I feel a lot better about myself now. I was only off by like 3 days.
Yeah. She's like, really, wasn't it in June last year? No, always September. Wow, I never realised.
It's not changed. Yeah, no. Each year you're like, you know, my birthday's going to be in November this year.
It's the same every year. So, yeah, I expect you to, everybody listening to this podcast, to remember and wish me happy birthday next year. Okay, TB's already got in 364 days early, so well done. Next week, we'll be discussing our revision process. So tune in then. See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Lesbians Who Write. Listen in every week for more conversations on writing and lesbian fiction. And you can make sure you never miss an episode by signing up to our newsletter at lesbianswhowrite.com. Also, if you could take a moment to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, it would help more people to discover us. Thanks so much, and see you next time.